Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
So, also really quick, breaking news. Daniel Jones is going to not the 49ers. Thank he will God. Be a Viking.
Oh!
That's why that's Carter and I were just debating actually. Whether or not to hit the breaking news sound. I figured, you know what?
Darnold and Jones?
To the Vikings. Yeah, if he was coming to the Niners, that would have been our show. But
redemption song? Bob Marley? The Minnesota Vikings?
Well, Kevin O'Connell, the head coach, has asked about it, I think, either yesterday or the day before, and he said, like, he was really enjoyed his draft work during the process of the draft a couple years ago. I think that was his rookie year as an NFL head coach. So, hey, he was in on Daniel Jones back then when he was coming out of Duke. I guess he's in on him now. And you know what? It's funny because Daniel Jones' only playoff victory was against the Minnesota Vikings.
That is iron.
Full circle.
There he goes. Full circle for Daniel
Jones. I like that report yesterday. Daniel Jones has zeroed in on a team. Like, he's the one picking the team that he's going to, and he's not just, it's whatever team just wants to take him.
So Daniel Jones would have been obviously the backup here, but Brandon Allen, I don't think, played actually that bad as we get back into this game. So Brandon Allen, if Brock Purdy can't go, he's going to be the starter next week in Buffalo. Here's what Brian Baldinger said yesterday to you, Joe Shasky, in regards to BA's performance.
Execution is the name of the game, and they didn't do that. But once you got through that, you got that drive before the half to get in the end zone. That was a good drive that he put together. And, you know, if you catch the ball and protect a little bit better, you know, 2 for 200 yards, he threw for a decent percentage. Like, I thought he saw the field well. The ball came out well. Like, I was actually surprised at how comfortable he looked, considering how little he has played.
And I'm not overly concerned about the throwing in this upcoming game, honestly, as we're talking about it. Now, you're going to have to throw the ball because you're not going to have a Mac Jones, Josh McDaniels, New England Patriots-type game in Buffalo like you did a few years ago where they just ran it a million times and threw it only three times. I don't think it's going to be that bad. But that being said, having a stronger armed quarterback this week will pay off. You're going to see it on the other side with Josh Allen, who has probably the strongest arm outside of Anthony Richardson in the NFL. If there's 30-mile-an-hour winds, you're damn right it's going to matter. So I don't want to have my limited arm strength quarterback, who's even more so limited in Brock Purdy playing this Sunday, if he is hurt, going into that situation and setting him up to fail. Maybe playing Brandon Allen is the smartest choice for Kyle Shanahan this week, regardless of if Brock Purdy gets cleared or not. Am I thinking too much into that?
No. I mean, I just think that right now, like, they're in such a tough spot. He's got to practice. Can we agree? Like, we got to start with practice. Can he get through a practice?
And he didn't practice yesterday. He did light throwing, and he didn't feel pain on Monday, Brock Purdy, that is.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of that. So, like, you know, we'll see. Yeah, I think if he practices either Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, you know, that will tell us something.
This is Dan Graziano on ESPN, Shasky. He said their plan is to assess, the 49ers that is, assess how Brock Purdy feels today and plan from there. It is truly unknown whether Purdy will be available Sunday night in Buffalo.
I'm going to read that into as pessimistic. Is there any other way to read it?
I mean, it's the word unknown, like you can't feel good about that. Shout out Elsa, Into the Unknown, Frozen 2.
It's a good call. I don't know what, they're in such a tough spot. They got to get back to running the ball. I know they've been going up against stack boxes like every week. It feels like this year we are reliving the Jimmy Garoppolo 2021 experience of stack boxes. I'm talking about defenses piling everyone in and saying, we dare you to beat man coverage. And I think the absence of Brandon Ayuk is really being felt.
Well, in the absence of a Christian McCaffrey that we saw last year. Like, we're seeing Christian McCaffrey, but it's not the Christian McCaffrey we saw last year.
Not even close.
It's going back to Christmas, it's the ghost of McCaffrey past. Not even that. This is the ghost of McCaffrey future we're seeing right now in real time. Like, this isn't what we're expecting, but maybe it's kind of ridiculous that fans do expect this guy to look like just himself. This is bilateral Achilles tendonitis. Like, some doctors said this was a, quote, ticking time bomb of an injury that they're just waiting to happen. And you could see that when he's rushing. He doesn't look comfortable when he's out there. You know who looks comfortable when he's out there when they give him the ball? Jordan Mason. He looks comfortable. Brian Baldinger talked about that yesterday with you guys and what he's seeing from Christian McCaffrey and his struggles right now.
I talked to him before the game, and I put down in one of my – because he had the week before, he had 8 of his runs went for 2 yards or less. So on one of the runs, I said, he's right in the hole, and there's a big gap to the right the week before. I said, to me, his legs could feel great. The Achilles tendonitis can be healed, but his eyes didn't look right to me. And he said to me, he goes, I wasn't really looking to, pick his brain about that, but he brought it up to me. He watched it, which has surprised me. But not only did he watch the video, but he said, you're right, I missed that hole. And I go, are your eyes late right now? Christian goes, no, I got fooled. But I'm thinking that guy was full speed the way we've seen Jordan Mason 2 weeks in a row hit full speed dives right up the middle, where he's seen it in real time at full speed. And I don't know that Christian's eyes are right.
That's concerning to me. And that signals to me, and Baldy didn't say this, but that signals is more mental than physical with anything him right now. His confidence level is just shot. And after week after week after week, he keeps getting stuffed. He keeps getting stuffed. Like, sooner or later, that's going to bleed into his physical play. And right now, the 49ers need this guy to look not as the offensive player of the year, just look like a top 10 back in the league right now. He was the best running back in football. Can you just be a top 10 guy right now? And they can't even get that production. Whereas Jordan Mason, he was a top 5 running back when he was getting those touches.
It's crazy. The Jordan Mason thing's wild. And I was opining for him to get more touches last year. I didn't think he could do what he did this year. Like, he's way better this year than I thought of whatever I thought he could do last year. It was more like, I just think he's a bruiser and he's a different punishing style that would complement CMC and maybe, provide longevity for him. But it is weird. Like, in the handful of runs, I mean, Jordan Mason's running so hard, so fast. It looks like he shot out of a cannon. And CMC just looks a little hesitant is the word that I would use. And it's not that he's not trying hard. No, it's just I don't see that same explosion. When I watch Saquon, it looks like he's been shot out of a cannon, doesn't it?
You watch him? You watch Josh Jacobs last week. And we were talking about this.
Josh Jacobs' amazing.
Skill isn't predicated on speed, but it's those cuts that he can make. That lateral quickness that he has.
And the decisiveness.
And he's a little undersized, but he's strong.
Yeah.
And he could drag some people. You are not tackling him one-on-one. Kind of like how he used to talk about Debo. Like, good luck tackling him one-on-one. That's Josh Jacobs in the running game. But he's been able to see those holes, get quick. And the eyes not being there, not being ready enough, is concerning. And here's the second part of Baldy talking about that, whether it's more mental or physical with Christian.
I don't know. Like, I think he might, like, just by what he said to me, and I don't want to one little conversation into a big deal. I don't want to do that. But I'm wondering if he's questioning himself. If there's, like, you could say confidence, but, if you're, like, you've seen, like, he was the best running back in football last year. He averaged 5.4 yards a carry. Like, it was stellar. Now, you can say, okay, Kittle's out last week, Trent's out this week, all that stuff. But you can't just put it on a player. Like I understand they gotta do their job up front. But I see backs all the time, including Josh Jacobs on Sunday, find yards that don't look like they're there. And you just don't see the explosion through the hole. Like, there's a hesitancy right now. And if you hesitate that position, you're just a, you're a pedestrian back.
Again, confidence, pedestrian, eyes aren't seeing it. There's a lot there, which leads me to think, I mean, on top of physical, just not feeling great. It is in his head right now. Let's go to Verducci out in the EDH, Joe Shasky, as we carry on this conversation about Christian McCaffrey and your concern level right now with the 49ers injuries. What's going on, Verducci? You're on with Spadoni and Shasky on the Morning Roast.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Good morning. And first off, I want to give my thanks to the 95.7 The Game family. Grateful for you all. You know, between you, Shasky, Bonte, Corey in the back there, Sam, Matt, and the rest of the hosts, man. Just it's great to be able to have a platform where us fans can be able to speak about the successes, the failures, our frustrations about sports and what we love. So I hope that you all have a happy Thanksgiving. And then this weekend, I mean, it really is about getting back to running the ball. You guys have talked about it. You know, CMC looks hesitant. He looks a little off. I don't know if it's because he's not truly 100%, but you got to go back to the guys that got you here. And that's Mason Berrendo and mixing them in. I think maybe even doing a little bootleg action, I think it helped because obviously I think they're going to think that we're going to be running the ball a lot given the conditions there with the snow. So I think just getting back to that and controlling the clock, I think that really killed us in the Green Bay game because there's a lot of quick drives where we could have ran the ball, controlled the game, kept our defense off the field since we know that that's our weak link of our team right now. And so really looking forward to it. I'm hoping that Purdy can be out there. I'm hoping they can protect him. But yeah, 49er fans, I mean, let's just keep the faith. You know, we're one game back. I know it's been difficult. I know I've had my issues with Shanahan, but I'm really hoping that Shanahan can learn from last week, take it and move forward so we can get back to the winning ways. And happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
You too, Verducci. Great call. You know, I'm looking at this, Spadone. I almost called you Bonte there.
It's all right. I'll allow it.
McCaffrey, 11 for 31. I'm talking about rushing. 11 for 31 in the last game against Green Bay. 19 for 79 against Seattle. It felt like he was getting it going a little. And the team was too. And then the first game against Tampa, 13 for 39. You're averaging about 3.5 yards a carry. Now, it's three games. Not a huge sample. Before the shoulder injury, just from week one until the Seattle game where he did get hurt, 147 yards, 100 yards, 77, 123, 89, 73. That's the rushing yards for Jordan Mason. On the year, even though he's been iced out the last 4 or 5 weeks, 5.1 yards a carry. He's also making more yards after contact. I think you got to find a way to get him more involved. You just have to. I'm not saying it's the end all be all. I just think you're going to have to stay dedicated to the run. And right now, like, your best use is both guys, not just one or the other.
And what's tough right now is, and with just the 49ers run game in general, Joe Shasky, not having a guy like Trent Williams out there is brutal. And I know Trent hasn't had the best year. He had the holdout. A lot of fans are pissed off at him, but he's still a top five left tackle in the NFL. Even at his diminished state this year, he's still better than almost everyone else in the league. He's just that good. He's a Hall of Famer. He's just not at his Hall of Fame level. But missing a guy like that, it's almost like it's a trickle-down effect. So yeah, you're missing the quarterback. That means you're on your backup. That means the opposing defense is going to stack the box. They're going to force Brandon Allen to throw, Josh Dobbs, whoever it is. That's just what you do, right? We're going to force this backup to beat us. That's just smart football. But when your left tackle's out and you have to rely on that run game, it's just, it's really tough to win. And I hate trying to be the excuse guy here, but I do think it's a legitimate excuse right now. When you look at just where this team is at health-wise, 10 guys that are starters, I feel like I could call them right now. Nick Bosa, hurt. Javon Hargrave, out for the season. Dre Greenlaw, not there. Talanoa Hufanga, not there. You've missed Charvarius Ward, obviously due to personal reasons. Brock Purdy, that's on six. You missed Christian McCaffrey for most of the season. Did I even mention Trent Williams? Like, I'm almost at 10 already.
I know.
And there's more. Like,
and if Trent's a game time decision, this is, I'm going to sound like almost a little cruel when I say this. I just wonder where he's at. Like, cause I truly believe there are times where I felt like he's been a front runner. I believe that. And like when the chips have been against the
definitely
Niners,
definitely sore loser mentality when they're
that's
getting
okay.
Beat.
Maybe sore loser is the better way of putting it. Okay. Okay. Seahawks play the Jets at 10 a.m. Cardinals play the Vikings at 10 a.m. And then the 1 o'clock game is Rams and Saints. We're going to know if the whole division wins or who wins and who doesn't. I just got this feeling that if Seahawks win, Arizona wins, the Rams win, these guys are going to start making their own business decisions.
Well,
and then you lose the game against Buffalo. Now you're a couple games out. And now really it's instead of two, you're really like 2.5 to 3 because of tiebreakers.
It's a very tricky situation right now. And it's hard not, if you're a 49ers fan, it's hard not to feel like it's a lost season. But at the same time, we all kind of knew this was a possibility all summer long, right? You lose a Super Bowl, it's not like it's a lock you're going to get back to the playoffs next year. Look at the history of the teams that lose a Super Bowl. It is almost, and we're talking about mentals with Christian McCaffrey, it's almost more mental than it is physical. But when the physicality and the body starts breaking down of your players on top of that, I mean, good luck, man. Well, I mean, and you could say, oh, well, the Chiefs, oh, and you saw Keyshawn Nixon saying it last week. Oh, well, you know, Jordan Love, he was out for a while, and we got the wins with Malik Willis, the backup. Yeah, but it's different when it's Brock Purdy and Christian McCaffrey and Dre Greenlaw and Nick Bosa
and
Ayuk. I didn't even mention that. Thank you. And Ayuk. Sooner or later, like, I'm sorry. Like, it's just, it's not meant to be in a season if that's all the injuries that are going to be taking place. You think the Chiefs are going to overcome that? The Chiefs lost their two starting tackles in the Super Bowl and got boat raced.
But
there's only so much you can overcome sometimes.
It's been a season from hell. I mean, that's like the only other way to put it. Like, it's been the season from hell. Like, I think about the Warriors season from hell when Clay was out for the whole year at the ACL and then Steph Curry got his hand broken and Draymond just stopped caring and he admitted it. And they were just running out Kai Bowman and Eric Paschal. That was a season from hell, right? It was just, but it wasn't like this, because this, you felt like you had with Clay out, you're like, yeah, we probably don't have a chance. We just lost KD, right? You didn't really feel like you were a legitimate contender. That felt like the season from hell. This is worse because heading into the year, you did feel like you had a Super Bowl contender team. You did. And everything has gone wrong. And I would even argue that like the things that have gone right are now starting to rear their ugly head as being wrongs. Dominic Pooney has been one of the best Niner offensive line draft picks in so long. Now he's got a hurt shoulder, and he had a really bad game against Green Bay. Doesn't negate the 7, 8, 9, 10 weeks of excellence that he had prior, but like, I want to see him finish the year out. I want to see him finish on a strong note. Jordan Mason was top 5 in rushing, and then he hurt his shoulder and fell out of favor. Can he get that back? You know, Malik Mustafa's been good at times. Drops a couple interceptions, you know, the last couple of weeks. You know, people are starting to question him. Renardo Green makes a bunch of nice plays and then also gets cooked. You know, so all the good stories have a lot of caveats. And all the negative stories are the headliners.
It's kind of crazy how things flip. You lose the Super Bowl and you're down bad mentally, but there's this hope, right? It's like, man, we got our quarterback. We still got a lot of young pieces. Yeah, we're going to have to retool and revamp. But you know what? I like where we're at. We got our cornerstone foundation with Nick Bosa. You know, we still got some time maybe with Kittle, maybe Debo or Ayuk. Maybe we have to move on from one of them. But you know what? We have the cornerstone players for the future to feel good about. If I was just to put out a poll about the optimism of this team going forward, in 9 months, it feels like a complete 180, which is crazy.
That's the NFL.
But they were just an overtime period away from winning a Super Bowl. And 9 months later, it does feel like the sky's falling and the future is, I'm not going to say bleak, because you do have Kyle Shanahan. And I want to, this whole conversation about getting rid of him has kind of just gotten overboard for me, because who are you replacing him with first and foremost? And the guy's just done so much. Being second place multiple times does not mean you're a bad team. It means you're second place in one of the most toughest leagues in all of sports in the NFL. It is so hard to be consistent year in and year out. That's why we look at teams like Tampa. Teams like New England with Tom Brady and co. Teams like, hell, even the Packers as of late, who have been consistent. Like, you look at those franchises and those teams and being like, man, I would like to have that model of consistency. And the 49ers have been that. It's okay that they have a down year, but it's what they do this offseason is really going to signify to me what this team's going to be like going forward, because the Eagles are kind of like, I kind of am viewing them in that same view of the Eagles last year, who did make the playoffs coming off a Super Bowl loss. But you knew after that loss to the Niners, they weren't the same.
They weren't even close to the same.
Weren't even the same. But what did they do, Joe Shasky? They retooled, yep. Revamped Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell. Jalen Hurts and Sirianni looked like they've got a new foundation. They look
got
like they're
on, the right coordinators.
They got the right coordinators.
And then they added Saquon.
And they took off a lot from Nick Sirianni, who's not Kyle Shanahan, but maybe Kyle Shanahan needs to take some off his plate.
Well, here's what I would push back.
Brian Baldinger mentioned it. They miss Mike McDaniel right now.
Okay. Let me push back on the creativity thing from Shanahan. I've seen a lot of like, everything's stale. The offense still works. It does. Guys have to execute. They're similar to Belichick, Kyle and his personnel decisions have stymied some of his own offensive brilliance.
Can I cut you off real quick? I'm not saying that it's not the offense that doesn't look good. I'm saying there's so much on Kyle Shanahan's plate right now. It's the simple things that are killing the Niners.
Well, and that's I agree with.
And that's a direct reflection of the head coach. You're either coaching it or allowing it to happen with penalties and sloppy mistakes that I saw last week. That's 100% on Kyle Shanahan.
I don't think he's infallible, and I don't think that he's not without criticism. His insistence on running the old Seattle 2014 defense is driving me nuts. No one's running that defense anymore. Everyone wants to run whatever the heck Mike McDaniel's running up in Seattle, which is what he ran in Baltimore.
You also don't have Richard Sherman, Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor. You don't have all those guys.
The league's cyclical. So like everyone's evolved away from that defense. So his insistence on running that defense, that's going to have to change. His insistence on playing specific personnel, like Jake Brendel. Bro, we've been telling you for 2 years you need to upgrade the center spot. And it's sabotaging his play calling.
Well, he's told you what he thinks about the offensive line in the offseason and paying those guys. Unless it's a first-round pick, he's just going to keep drafting them in the third and fourth rounds.
Yeah, but like, go out and draft somebody in the third or fourth round then. Jake Reynolds, like an undrafted free agent that's been around the league for a minute.
They probably will.
I want to see them also, like, figure out what the hell you're doing at wide receiver, because you have way too many bodies and not enough targets for any of those guys, and it's driving everyone nuts.
I mean, so, Ricky Pearsall.
It's not a great pick.
It's not a great pick.
But, like, I do believe there are plays to be had out on that field, and I think that execution has been the biggest problem.